So, what are we doing today?
Maybe let's just take a walk and then, discuss our life problems. What do you mean, what are we doing today? We're recording an episode.
Was like, where is she going
What
with
the hell?
this?
Okay, you do. You do you.
It's just gonna be one of those days, isn't it? This is not gonna end.
It's gonna be a giggly episode.
But that's better than the way it was starting out earlier.
But if I don't giggle, then don't put this as the intro.
Were harmed in the making of this podcast.
You are useless anyway. I feel like I run this podcast by myself. Chirag has no interest in this podcast anymore. So if you don't hear from us in 2020, you know where to go.
First of all, Heetal has already announced last year that she plans to run the show without me. So I don't know what the point is.
I did not announce it. I said if I have to run the show without you, I will run it the same way or even better. I just need to find an editor.
No, remember I told you I'll still edit the show.
I won't pay you.
Yeah, that's fine.
Done. Welcome to episode 17.
We're aging quickly.
We're ending our teenagers. 2 more years and then shit hits the ceiling. How was your life when you were 20?
I was in the States. I was enjoying my life as an editor of a newspaper.
Nothing much has changed now. You just no. moved from a newspaper to a podcast.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Right.
X amount of years later, which we shall not reveal on the show, here we are, like, life complete, full
That's
circle.
That's a lot of math to do.
There was no math in that to do at all.
Oh, 15 years later.
I didn't say X because, like, I was not sure how many years have passed. I said X because I did not want to reveal how many years have passed.
Well, you're the editor, so
of course I'm going to cut it.
Yeah.
So we want to open the show today by talking about someone whose first name we are not decided on yet.
I think it's Piers Morgan.
Why is it that before we started the show, we didn't actually just listen to one of his interviews announcing himself?
I have done it. It's Piers Morgan.
I've done it too. It's Piers Morgan.
Let's find out now.
No.
You haven't done it, have you? I have. How to pronounce Piers Morgan? YouTube. Can we please add this?
Piers Morgan.
Piers
Morgan.
Piers. Look at that. Piers.
No, it's Piers Morgan.
For someone who claims to have done it, you
Cut.
Don't...
Why does this video have only 258 views? This should be like everywhere.
We are currently Googling how to pronounce Piers Morgan's first name. It has resulted in some very fascinating videos. I recommend everybody go and search for this on YouTube.
Okay, celebrity names you're probably saying wrong.
You know, for someone that claims to have done this, you're having a remarkably hard
I can't
time
remember.
Finding it.
I think I had a hard time finding it then as well. Dude, we need to get this right. Can you please open some interview of his where the person is announcing?
I walked out with an AR-15.
Literally no one try it took me to find his the way he pronounces his name.
This is Piers Morgan live.
So, Heetal, have you figured out how to pronounce his name now?
No, we're not adding this anymore.
What?
No, we can't add it.
You lost?
Yeah. What shit? Do you not know how things work with me?
Why did we do this whole charade? Like, why are we trying to find out?
Because we were talking about him and we needed to pronounce his name right.
So a company called Greg's.
Whose sausages I really want to try now.
Maybe don't phrase it like that though.
I see what you did there, Greg's.
It's a company in the UK that basically announced this brand new like vegan sausage roll. And Piers Morgan decided that he was going to take that apart. And so he opened by sharing that piece of news and saying, "Nobody was waiting for a vegan bloody sausage, you PC-ravaged clowns."
What does PC mean?
Politically correct.
All right.
And this was like his tweet on Jan 2nd, right? Like, this is how he opened his year. And then later that day, by the way, he then posted a second one where he's like, "I just ordered a large sausage roll on room service, a meat one, like real meat. The vegan resistance begins here."
I think that guy stopped growing after age 10. Like, he just stopped.
So Greg's obviously responded to this pretty quickly and they were like, "Oh, hello, Piers. We've been expecting you," which was hilarious. But actually what I think what made it just super funny is how the other company started playing on this stuff, right? So then McDonald's announced a veggie Happy Meal.
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, yeah.
And so Piers Morgan in response, and I quote, "Oh, FFS. You know, for F's sake, it's supposed to be a happy meal," in caps. And so McDonald's UK was quick to reply to him as well. So like our pals at the sausage roll place, we've been expecting you. But I think the best response then came from a company that, you know, I don't really I'm not a big fan. Like, I don't vouch for that company a lot, but I thought this was hilarious because they opened, this was Pizza Hut in the UK, that shared a picture and said, hey, here's a picture of our new vegan pizza. Everybody please tag Piers Morgan in it and ruin his day.
I think Pizza Hut did it the best.
I have to give it to them. And they added as well, like, feel free to join in, and they tagged Greg's. I mean, I have to say, I mean, I'm impressed that, you know, people are still creative and smart on social media.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because we haven't seen one of these things happen in a while. But everybody kind of jumped on him.
I mean, I think for him, any publicity is good publicity. But this is so childish. Why would you embarrass yourself like that in public?
I think also, like, but he's one of those people that just doesn't, like, the things that he understands, he can be very, pithy maybe the right word, but he can be very succinct and very brutal. But when the things he doesn't understand, then he's just childish.
But this is not difficult to understand.
Well, I mean, we've met enough people.
People don't want to eat meat. Get lost. There are companies who want to make money out of this, and they're doing it. Or is he just doing this because he knows it's funny? I mean, if he's doing this because it's funny, then he has a very bad sense of humor. But if he genuinely behaves like that in real life, I mean,
I don't think he was trying to be funny. I think this is what he genuinely thinks. So we've seen these comments come from people. So he's making very similar kind of comments. Like when we talked about the Great British Bake Off, right? Where it was like, you know,
Make kebabs than a vegan.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, well, dude, that's nothing to do with anything. Like, so I think for him as well, it's like that. It's like, oh my God, it's supposed to be a happy meal. Like, nobody's happy eating. Like,
I'm a chef. How dare you ask me to make something I don't know and I don't like?
Speaking of which, by the way, like the Pizza Hut's vegan pizza option that they've done is not just like, hey, guess what? We've got vegan cheese. They actually have like a pulled jackfruit pizza.
Which they call the pulled jackfruit pie. I just wanted to...
You wanted to contribute? Is that what just happened?
Yeah. Okay. I have so many tabs open. I don't know where to go at this point. You're just jumping from one topic to the other without giving me a cue. That's all the information I had. So I thought, let me just put whatever information I have on the podcast. That's all I speak about Pizza Hut.
So anyway...
I told you it would be a giggly episode.
Thank you for that. You know, it's actually kind of a bummer, though, to be honest, like, that all of this stuff gets introduced in the UK.
That's a good thing, no?
There are larger markets outside as well, like... I mean, I understand that these things have... There's a lot of, like, logistics around it that...
I think UK and Sweden, these are the only two lucky countries that just get it.
It's certain parts in Northern Europe, and then... Like, maybe, say, I think initially we did McDonald's doing the McVegan burger. I think it was Norway or something. Oh, Finland, yeah. So it does seem, but I don't know what that's about. I'm assuming also it has to do with them having like large base there, like, or logistics local to that area. So then it's like, okay, we can start it off here and then spread it far and wide. But it's a bit disappointing because like there are huge vegan populations in other parts of the world, and you could do something about it.
Well, nobody's coming to UAE anytime soon because there aren't many vegans.
Right? Like when McDonald's came to India, they went through so many logistical changes because they introduced menus and items there that they had never introduced anywhere else. And so you would think that then it's like one step away.
But India doesn't have a lot of vegans. India has a lot of vegetarians.
No, I understand. But I'm saying like just that, like logistically, if they were going to introduce extra vegan options in meat-heavy countries where most of their menu is meat and they have like one veggie option, it would make sense that they could go to the country where they have tons of veggie options and introduce vegan alternatives.
Yes, but bear in mind, it has taken many years for vegetarian ingredients to be cheaper, like dairy. And it will take many years. Of course, it's the egg and the chicken which comes first. If there's more demand, prices will drop. If prices will drop, then people will introduce more of it. So I think the onus lies on people. There's demand for it so that people, companies bring it more. And been to the UK, and I think it's one of the best places to be a vegan, like London. Oh, my God. I think I can just do a trip to London just to eat their food over there. And it's pretty well deserved. Although I don't understand why U.S. isn't getting... U.S., Israel, Turkey. I think UAE as well has a good number of vegans now, no?
Again, the reason I mentioned us as well is because generally most of the larger franchises and the big companies tend to have like their base out of Dubai for the region as well. Even though, of course, the logistics is more complicated than that, I understand that. So it would be nice if they could use Dubai as a starting point. And so, of course, to be fair, a lot of companies do. But I've noticed that the big ones don't. But I mean, you know, I mean, we've had Pizza Express pretty much reintroduce their...
Worldwide, I think. one vegan pizza, but it's everywhere.
Is it everywhere? I don't think it was everywhere. I thought it was like Dubai was one of the things that came out in the rollout. Like it was part of the rollout, but it wasn't.
But it's not like UK has it special. There's one vegan option and it's everywhere. It's, you know, I mean, of course, in UK, there's it's in England, it's in Scotland, it's in Dubai. There's one vegan pizza that they've done right. And it's everywhere.
The distinction I was making was just that like here, we've been very, very lucky, fortunate, whatever, that we have a lot of places that serve vegans. But a lot of places that have taken this on are local brands generally, or companies that have, I mean, restaurants and stuff that are based here that have taken that initiative. Very few chains have introduced them. Pizza Express, I think, is one of the few exceptions, but most of the other chains, they don't have any vegan options, actually.
No.
No, with Pizza Hut, I'm just glad that they're introducing it. I mean, whatever, again, same thing like we did with McDonald's, right? Whatever the motivation, doesn't matter. I'm glad that they didn't just say, hey, we're introducing vegan cheese. They're like, oh, we're also going to do like a pulled jackfruit thing, which is nice.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that the prices match the regular pizzas, though. It makes no sense otherwise to introduce vegan options in a fast food joint.
But it's interesting, by the way, just on a side note, like I've been noticing here more and more that a lot of the cafes are making the gap between in terms of pricing. So we've seen, I think, a couple of the chains, they're not charging extra, right, anymore. They're just, it's one price and then you can ask them for an alternative milk. Oh, no big deal. In other places, they've reduced the gap. I mean, previously, what used to be 4 and 5 dirhams extra has become 2 and 3. I was talking to a manager at a cafe yesterday, or was it the day before, whatever, a couple of days ago. And he was like, yeah, we're working on a new menu now. And they have a good vegan coffee range as well. It's a vegan coffee range. I mean, they do vegan milks and vegan smoothies and all of that. And he was like, yeah, we're just, you know, we're revising the menu and revising some of our prices. And we're like, we're actually in a position now where we can take some of the pricing down. So we're going to bring the pricing down. And then he was like, yeah, and also we're not going to charge extra for vegan milk.
Right. So you were saying that they wanted to sell a certain amount of the jackfruit pizza.
Yeah, so Pizza Hut UK, right? So they introduced it as a tryout thing. And they said that they, if they could get in the month of January, if they could sell 10,000 units or 10,000 pies, I suppose, then they would bring it and make it a permanent fixture on the menu. And in less than 2 weeks, they had almost 18,000. So they have now confirmed that it is going to be on the menu starting March.
That's quite cool, no?
Yeah. Now they should bring it here, but yeah.
Meanwhile, McDonald's is launching McFalafel in Sweden. That
explain this to me, right? So McDonald's already is piloting a vegan burger, right? They started looking at a McVegan. So now they are introducing a McFalafel. But not in the Middle East.
I think that's a good decision, though, because people would have... I can only imagine how bad the McFalafel would be. Okay, I know I have not enough evidence or, you know... I haven't tasted it. I haven't seen it. I don't know what they're using. I don't know who's designing it, who's making it. But let's face it, Middle Eastern food outside Middle East is usually not that great. Or at least it's not as on par with what we eat here. Also, McFalafel doesn't excite me at all. We eat falafel sandwiches literally every second day here.
Yeah, I know, but my point is just like, if you're going to introduce a falafel, like the right place to introduce it would be here. This is where you get all the ingredients. This is where you get all the supplies. This is where things would be easier. This is where you have acceptance of the falafel.
Actually, falafel is something that is widely accepted everywhere. And I think it's a good idea for them to have... I think they're launching it in Sweden again. I mean, just how... I don't know, Tunisian food or Italian food or French food would gain popularity here because it would be something different. And people want to eat different, right? The whole world is being globalized and people just want to try out new things. Like hummus and falafel has become really popular around the world. Now there's beetroot hummus and then there's kale hummus.
No, and my other thing also is like now the word hummus is used for anything pureed, which is annoying.
And I think falafel can be a very easy patty to veganize. Well, it is by default vegan, but it's like the most easiest. It's the easiest thing to just put in a burger.
Yeah, I mean, of course, we live in the land of falafel sandwiches, right? And falafel sandwiches traditionally are vegan.
I feel like a falafel sandwich from Tasty right now.
I'm just thinking like fried falafel, tahini, like that's nice. Anyway.
With some genuine chickpea hummus on the side. The authentic one, the real one.
The real one.
And meanwhile, Starbucks has launched vegan mac and cheese in some parts of UK. Some parts.
This is starting to become like, hey, let's do all the food launches in the UK and then hope and pray at the end of each one that they show up here.
Yeah. feel like whatever is launched in the UK comes to the UAE sooner than it goes anywhere else.
Because, I mean, in most cases, especially with the chains, like, we are generally looked after by that region, which is UK or whatever. So whatever they introduce, that tends to come here quicker than if something gets introduced in the US, we never see it.
And a good mac and cheese is something I really crave.
You made it too at home, though. Yeah.
It's quite interesting. I made it with ingredients like potatoes, carrots, and onions. Yeah. I made cheese out of it. Of course, nutritional yeast helped a lot. But I was shocked because when I was making it, I was like, I don't know, how am I going to eat this? You know, this looks bad. It's pretty simple to make. And I boiled one onion, one carrot, and one potato. Literally, that's what the recipe said, just one of each, white onion. And boiled it and put it in a blender, added some water and some lemon juice and nutritional yeast. And I poured it on my macaroni, and I don't know how to bake or use an oven, embarrassingly enough. Nor did I have any vegan cheese to sprinkle. So it said to sprinkle some grated vegan cheese and just put it in an oven, but I did not. So I just poured it. It tasted just like mac and cheese. And I thought that I'm crazy. Like, you know, maybe I haven't... I have lost all my powers to distinguish between authentic food and vegan food now. So I called a friend and asked him to check. And he couldn't tell the difference. He said, yeah, well, there's minor difference as such, but it tasted almost like regular mac and cheese.
So while we're at this as well, like, so at least this one is a more Dubai one. But Marks & Spencer in Dubai has launched a whole range of vegan meals. I think it's under the brand name, like they're calling it the Plant Kitchen. It was nice, actually, not just that they had vegan options, but they had so many different kinds of vegan options. So what I saw was, so they had some regular meals, right? Like it was a lot of rice and like veggies and that kind of thing. But then they also had pizzas, which was pretty cool. So they had two pizza options. I think there was a margarita and there was a pulled jackfruit barbecue-y one. And then they also had like vegan coleslaw, which I thought was pretty cool. For the pizza, by the way, they were using a cauliflower puree for the creaminess.
Did you try it?
Nope.
Did you buy it?
Nope.
So we have a lot of choices for vegan burgers and vegan pizzas around. If you guys are still thinking about going vegan, 2019 is the year.
Yeah, happy Veganuary.
Papa John's are introducing vegan cheese in all their outlets in the UK nationwide. So that's another thing. By the way, outside of UK and outside of Sweden, there is a hotel in Turkey, which is a 100% vegan hotel. And it's in Antalya. The hotel's menu is entirely plant-based and includes Mediterranean-style cuisine like falafel, surprise, homemade burger, surprise, pasta and grain bowls, buffet-style breakfast platters, salads, pastries, and appetizers are also available. It's called the Vegan Lodge. So in case you guys are planning to go to Turkey, do check them out. I think I will stay here when I'm in Antalya. The company also strives to be environmentally friendly by using solar energy to heat its water supply. So not only are they plant-based, but they're also environment friendly. And it forgoes as many plastic products as possible, for instance, by not serving water in single-use plastic bottles.
Good to hear.
They also grow most of their own produce, like olives and pomegranates, which are used in the meals.
Yeah, I like restaurants that do that.
So, great news. A lot of corporates, a lot of people who have been in the business selling their animals are now turning into vegan products. Please do not think that you don't want to support them because they kill animals. If you show them the demand, they will essentially and eventually turn into vegan restaurants for all you know. Always look at the other picture.
We've said this many times as well. I do think that it's all about setting up the demand.
I have a question for you, considering you're a health-conscious vegan. If McDonald's comes up with a McVegan in Dubai, would you go and eat it?
I think I would go try it. I doubt it would become part of my diet in any way.
And then Pizza Hut comes and then you'll go try the vegan pizza as well? At least once you'll give them
your
money.
Yeah, I would probably, like I said, I would probably want to try it out to see how it is. But yeah, I mean, but these are generally not companies that I like eat food from.
In case you don't find me somewhere, I'm not answering your call. You know where to find me
in a food court.
When McDonald's launches a McVegan in the UAE.
All right, so what else? What other news do we have to cover?
And there's a major breakthrough in Canada's food guide, the official food guide, Health Canada. it reveals a huge reduction in the recommended intake of dairy products. So Canada is now encouraging its citizens to eat more plant-based food, more fruits, more vegetables, more grains, legumes, and less dairy. And last February, Health Canada proposed adding warning labels to products high in saturated fat, sodium, and sugars, which includes dairy products. I think it's a big deal, right? It's coming from the government. It's coming from Health Canada, which is their actual, the annual food guide, and tells its citizens what exactly they should eat for health reasons. And they are mostly talking about regular intakes of plant-based foods. So vegetables, fruits, whole grains, and these plant-based proteins can have positive effects on health, is what they say. The dairy industry is not happy about it. Hear this. You're going to hate it. Not only will this harm the dairy sector and the hundreds of thousands who depend upon it for their livelihood, it also risks harming Canadian consumers by creating confusion about the nutritional value of dairy. Pierre Lampron, the president of Dairy Farmers of Canada, told the publication.
See, I think this is interesting because actually this has been going on for a few years.
This guy. I want to make a point, but my point is, I know you're going to make a nice, sane point and stuff, but my point is just going to make fun of him. So, so I'll wait.
So this has been something, by the way, these official guides, and this is not just like government guides, but even other studies. And we've seen schools do this as well over the last few years, where they're all recommending being more careful with meat. Even if they don't outright advocate, let's say, get rid of dairy or whatever, they talk about reduction of dairy. I mean, this red meat, white meat debate has been going on for a decade now. So all of this stuff has been going on. It's just what happens is when these things happen, they make the news. And then you have all these protests and lobbies and everything else get involved. And poof, all of this stuff just gets sidelined. And the next year, you see the same document get released again and the same recommendations made again. And nobody really does anything about it in a strong way. And so the problem, of course, is that, you know, we have a very, very deep-seated industry. When you look at the dairy industry, the meat industry, like these are all multi-billion dollar, you know, industries with too many people and too many interests. And I mean, so it's very hard to create real traction when it comes to these things, right? I mean, I can talk about India a lot, but like the same thing happens in India, right? India, despite the fact that we constantly pass policy around not just animal cruelty, but even around slaughterhouses and everything else, but even the illegal cow beef market is huge in India, despite that fact, because the industry is just so big and there's just so much money to be made that policy only goes so far. The way these people get around is to create the confusion, right? So that's why if you see the statement he was making where he's like, well, you know, you do this, you'll create confusion. People won't understand the nutritional value.
Don't stop child trafficking, you know. The poor guy's livelihood depends on it.
Yeah,
let's sell children and make money.
They throw five things at you in response. And then, you know, knowing that the person who's confused will only need to agree with one of them and he's confused. Right? So if you throw jobs, if you throw nutrition, and if you throw like food chain, you'll pretty much cover every confused person, right? Like you'll cover most of the confused people, and then that's it. And then this debate will go on and on, and that's good enough. You just need to create confusion. You don't actually have to change anything because you're already in a dominant position when it comes to the dairy industry.
No, I mean, even for the next 2 seconds, let's just put being vegan aside. Let's just forget that we are the two vegans and we're running a podcast.
But wait now, who am I?
If you're just a listener.
No, but like now you're
like,
just, who am I?
You're just a guy who's a good listener. We rarely have them, so please play your role well. Tick, tick, tish. So let's just put veganism aside for a couple of seconds, right? Let's just say that you are a businessman who has been running a business for the last, I don't know, 5 decades. Technology has advanced. People have advanced. Consumer intelligence has advanced. The right thing for you to do is advance with them. Instead of complaining about why is nobody buying my floppy disks in 2019, because now you've moved on to hard drives, you've moved on to cloud system or whatever, right? You can't be like, oh, my livelihood depends on selling floppy disks. You please be nice and go back to 1988 and please buy floppy disks from me. So just from a business point of view, this makes no sense. I mean, you can't stop the world from going vegan. So you may as well change your business instead.
The floppy disk thing, I completely agree with you. Obviously, there's nobody here today that's doing floppy disk. But by the way, when Apple dropped the floppy drive from their computer and said, you know what, and they only, because there was a time when you had both, right? You had a CD drive and a floppy disk, like we were when the transition was happening. And then Apple came out of the computer that only had a CD drive. And there was so much outrage.
Exactly, right?
Right. So at some point, you will have someone that needs to make that kind of decision, but you will always have this opposition because everybody that is in that prefers that status quo, right?
Let's just say, even if you're a dairy farmer or a dairy producer, add one line of vegan products and see the difference yourself. Do the market study, slowly transition from being a dairy farmer to a plant-based milk farmer, and then make your money is what I'm saying, because eventually in the next 10 years, your product demand is going to grow. It's like you're driving on a highway and the only car you're focusing is on the one in front of you. Not on your left, not on your right, not on the car in front of the car that is in front of you. Because you got to focus everywhere, right? Yes, I am a very responsible lady driver. Don't look at me like that.
I wasn't looking at you like that. You started this episode making me believe that this is going to be the episode of giggling, but apparently this is the episode of metaphors. This is the third one you made today.
Let's giggle. There you go.
So there's a company called Just Egg, which is that we're still struggling to find.
Anyway, I actually went online and I was like, I'll pay the shipping. I just want to order some Just Egg. I couldn't find it online anywhere. I'm doing something wrong somewhere, because it has to be somewhere online. But it's not easily available as much as Follow Your Heart vegan eggs are, you know. But I really want to try Just Egg. Just Egg's packaging is so good. I feel like I should just buy it and just make something out of it.
Anyway, so they've said that they're expecting to hit... They've hit what they consider the equivalent of 2 million eggs sold since September. It's equivalent of 2 million eggs sold since September. Wow, that's 3 months. That's one quarter. Yeah. Well, I think as well, so when you were saying that it's tough to find, I'm guessing their production scale is not as large as Follow Your Heart, probably.
Oh, I was wondering if... will we ever find a replacement for boiled eggs or poached eggs? Well, poached eggs would be from boiled eggs, you know, like... But
I'm guessing, just for context, like, I think you're making this point because most of the egg replacements today are pretty much scrambled. They can serve as equivalent for scrambled stuff or in baking and stuff like that. Yeah,
at the very best omelets. Yeah,
I've seen it as dessert so far, but I haven't seen it as a runny yolk type thing or a boiled egg type thing. Yeah.
So in our last episode, we encouraged people to give us suggestions or ask us any questions. And we already have a question by one of our listeners, Pooja Sukur. So she says, there's a lot of food which is meant to taste like something else as a vegan. For example, vegan cheese tasting like milk cheese, or vegan sausages, burgers, mock meat, etc. Her question is, should we be arriving to make vegan food taste like meat? And are we headed to perhaps encouraging more people to turn vegan, but then we end up putting a lot of chemicals and additives in our food to make it taste a certain way?
So the first point is, I think it's all about recognizability. For a lot of people, certain foods are irreplaceable to them. So meat's obviously a very clear example. We talk about steak, we talk about burgers and stuff, such that when people say, hey, this is a veggie burger, they look at it like it's not enough food, or it's not food, right? Because you've taken out the crux of my dish and you've replaced a few veggies in it, right? And even a veggie patty doesn't really count as a burger and that kind of thing. And so I think that the idea of showing vegan food as a good alternative sometimes means we have to recreate something that people do. We had this, if you remember, in the episode where we were talking, where we talked about stereotypes and stuff like that, where each person that, you know, gave us their comment and stuff roughly said the same thing, where I've tried to recreate something that my family has made for years that had some amount of dairy or meat in it, and tried to recreate it in a way that tastes close but is vegan. And it's just so that it would have better acceptability, because it's like, oh, well, you know, this is an occasion during which we always eat tiramisu. Well, then now you can't bring, I'm saying as a family member, you'd be like, well, now you can't bring like this vegan dessert at me. No, you got to bring me vegan tiramisu. Then it counts as a tradition. So I think there's a lot of passion and sentiment around it, which is why a lot of people are focusing on it, because it's an easy sell, or an easier sell compared to saying that. But I would point out that actually, you know, vegan food does not taste like meat. Or what we would call, like, what should be vegan food when you're talking plant-based diets and stuff. And again, the vegetarian diet is a good place to look, where most traditional vegetarian dishes, especially Indian cuisine, if you look at it, but even other cuisines, they're not trying to mock anything. I mean, they're not trying to imitate anything. They're a dish in and of themselves. It's just that we have too many people that think that that's not food, right? So I can be extremely satisfied, you know, with like a nice Indian spread, right, with no meat in it. And that's how I've lived, like, for most of my life, or specifically the last 10 years. So, and I've never felt like, oh, I, this doesn't taste like butter chicken, so I'm not going to eat it. I've never tried to eat a butter anything, by the way. I've never looked for an alternative. I've just eaten a bacon kabartha instead. Like, so that distinction for me has always been there. But I've just come to learn that most people's heads don't work that way. And so for me, I'm totally fine with it. I can eat it. But all the last 10 years, every time I've been out, we've done like work dinners and stuff. Every time I say like I'm vegetarian or whatever, people give me the same look. We're like, but how can you feel full? Like, you're not eating real food. This is like a rabbit. Like all of these other things, because they just cognitively do not understand that it is possible to have a hearty full meal without something. And so when you want to get to those people, when you want them to understand that, hey, you can be plant-based and not kill animals and be good for the environment and yourself and all of this stuff, this is a great way to do it.
I think it's a very subjective point. What is vegan food? Anything that doesn't come from an animal. Vegan, in essence, is something that tries to avoid any kind of animal cruelty. Then it goes on to, yes, then there are, of course, effects, positive effects on the environment and positive effects on your health. But essentially, veganism is trying to avoid any kind of cruelty to any other being. People can be vegan for several reasons. A lot of people want to be vegans for animal cruelty. A lot of people are a vegan for animal cruelty, and I am one of such people. I don't necessarily care about healthy food. If I cared about healthy food, I wouldn't even eat a beef burger. However, if food is something that people are very emotional about. So I feel these substitutes are a great invention, following my request for vegan boiled eggs. I really miss some of the vegetarian foods. I've never been a meat eater, so I don't miss any kind of meat, but I miss eggs, I miss cheese, I miss just going to a restaurant and ordering mac and cheese and just eating it. And if somebody makes a vegan version of it, I'm very happy if I know it comes from plants. If I want to eat healthy, which is whole foods, plant-based, healthy vegan food, I'm not going to ask for these things anyway. So for me, a person who is addicted, and yes, of course, all these chemically laced foods are addictive. Cheese is addictive, beef is addictive. There's no extraordinary taste in them. You know, like I'd easily say that strawberries taste better than cheese when you're talking about taste, right? But just because it's addictive and people are not able to quit it, which I get, and if this helps them, the mock meat and the mock cheese helps them, I don't see why there is a problem. I totally am all for it, because this is the first step that people are taking towards going vegan. Chemical laced stuff is going to be around for some time now, for a long time now. And you just have to make that decision. You either move on to eating raw, you move on to eating whole foods, you move on to eating fruits and veggies, or you eat your vegan sausages, which I will all my life, and be fat. It's a choice that you have to make from a health perspective. But as long as you're doing it from essentially a vegan perspective, which is not causing harm, it doesn't matter where your food comes from.
Yeah, and I'll add to that too. Like, I mean, you mentioned, you know, I'm more healthier generally when I'm eating and stuff. So yeah, generally I don't eat it. But the truth be told, like, I mean, I miss pizzas. One of my favorite foods. I mean, a good pizza, obviously, not every single one, but like, you know, it's one of my favorite foods. And so obviously the fact that I can get vegan cheese or nut-based cheese or a cauliflower-based cheese or some tofu-based cheese on a pizza, such that I can recreate most, if not every piece of that flavor. Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna indulge. I mean, to take Pooja's point a little bit further, a lot of this recreation is coming from some heavy chemical work. And I think that's something we should be watchful for, 100%. And the hope will continue to be that more and more companies invest in this, such that we can find better ways to do some of these recreations, whatever slightly more natural way, even if it's 10%, 20% more natural way, becomes more and more mainstream. And so then the cost of those things will come down too, eventually.
No, of course. But for me, I feel that that's not a vegan fight. I feel that's more of a health versus non-healthy fight. I mean, you could be drinking Coke and you could fight with people saying that, okay, you don't need to manufacture so much of Coca-Cola and it's bad for children and teenagers and things like that. Whether they want to eat healthy or not is completely their prerogative. It's a completely different fight, and that's something that they need to decide for themselves. Anyway, I hope we have answered your question. do let us know if we haven't.
Or ask us a follow-up question.
Or ask us more questions.
We'll keep this debate going on every episode.
And if anyone else has any other questions or would like us to cover any other topics, please do let us know.
You can find us on Instagram, the2.vegans. You can leave us a comment. You can DM us about topics.
You can stalk us on Facebook, at least on our page. It's called the2vegans.
Yeah. reach out to us, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Leave us a review if you use Apple Podcasts or other such podcast players. And that's all we have for you this week.
So donate to your nearest shelter, be nice to children, be nice to animals, and be nice to everyone else. Bye-bye.
Bye.